If you were here with us last week, then you know that we kicked off a Christmas series titled Advent Conspiracy, a series that's really becoming kind of a Christmas tradition for us here at Dallas Four Square Church. I mean, this is only our second Christmas together, and we did Advent Conspiracy last year, we did it this year, so I guess that makes it a tradition right here at Dallas Four Square Church. But if you remember last week, if you were here, I shared with you just a little story of a group of pastors that got together back in 2006, and they began to dialogue and talk about Christmas. Because the reality is, what Christmas is supposed to be and what Christmas has become are two totally different things. And so these pastors started talking about, how can we do stuff differently in our churches? How can we recapture the true heart of Christmas instead of what Christmas has really become in our world around us? And out of these conversations came this thing known as Advent Conspiracy. Now, it started with just four churches back in 2006, and now thousands of churches worldwide participate in this concept, this idea of Advent Conspiracy, us being one of them, coming together and rethinking Christmas. And so these churches, they're encouraging their congregations. I can talk this morning. They're encouraging their congregations to stop and think and ask the question, what is Christmas really about? Why do we do this thing called Christmas? And so through this Christmas season, we're walking through this series once again titled Advent Conspiracy. And let me just say this. I'm not preaching the same messages I did last year. It's just the concepts and ideas, and we're kind of rethinking Christmas. It's a series, though, that really focuses on four main topics. Worship fully, spend less, give more, and love all. And we combine those into three weeks here. And last week, we kicked things off with the first one, worship fully. And I shared with you the fact that we won't be able to be people who spend less, who give more, and love all if we aren't first learning how to worship fully. Because it starts with worship. And as we learn to worship God fully, it will help us with the next topics that we're actually going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about spending less and giving more. Now, when you hear that, spend less and give more, it kind of sounds like an oxymoron, right? Spend less, give more. But here's the thing. I think it's coming to the realization that Christmas has become more about consumerism than about giving to help and care for others. You see, you saw in the video earlier that Americans spend $450 billion, that's with a B, billion dollars a year, every year at Christmas. That's just crazy to me. That's a lot of money. And you know the sad thing is, I'll bet you a good percentage of that money goes to useless gifts that, right, get put in the closet or get given or donated because they don't want them. You see, Advent Conspiracy is rethinking that. It's rethinking how we do Christmas. It's about taking Christmas back from the consumeristic, I don't know if that's a word or not, if it isn't, I just made it up and it's a word now, okay? From this consumeristic and thoughtless celebration that Christmas has become. And to once again, our heart is to make it joyous, right? We talked about joy this morning. To make it a joyous occasion where we rejoice, right? Where we rejoice in the salvation that was brought to us from this newborn king. That's what Christmas is about. A Savior that we can celebrate and learn from by giving gifts that are meaningful and thoughtful and even sacrificial, right? Now I know, as I share this morning, I know that not everybody falls into this consumeristic stereotype, okay? And I'm not saying all of you are wrong, you're all this way. I'm not saying we're all this way, I'm not saying everybody's this way. I know there are people who are very thoughtful, who give meaningful gifts and who are sacrificial at times in their giving. And if that's you, then here's my encouragement. My encouragement is to keep doing that. to keep that heart of Christmas, to not lose what Christmas is all about. But you see, I think a lot of times for many, Christmas has become a time when it's just about buying and receiving gifts. That's it. With little thought at all behind why we give, about who we're even giving to and what it means and what it's about. And this is one of the reasons that I'm passionate about Advent Conspiracy. You know, I myself, over the years, have gotten caught up in this consumeristic view of Christmas. I can tell you, when my kids were toddlers, I went a little crazy at Christmas time. It was fun, right? I mean, all the toys, all the stuff, and I spent definitely more money than we should have. My wife and I, more money spoiling our kids to give them stuff, right? And the sad thing in that is our credit card showed it, and we ended up spending the next year trying to catch up from all the money, useless money we spent on things. And you know the interesting thing that I discovered? Yeah, my kids are excited when they open a present. Yeah, my kids love toys, and they love the new stuff as much as any kid. But the reality is, I really realize when you break it down and look, my kids cared less about the toys and more about their daddy playing with them, about the relationship and the connection of daddy getting down. It's not so much about the toy, it's about daddy being there with them. Sometimes the greatest gift that we can give is just ourselves. This is what Advent Conspiracy is about. It's discovering what's really important in life. What's really important to the ones we love. It's about getting back to celebrating Christmas in a way that is reflective of how the Lord would want us to celebrate. Ways that were exampled for us through the very first Christmas. Last week we looked at worship and we looked at stories of the very first Christmas. This morning we're going to look back at some of the things that we can learn from that very first Christmas. If you have your Bibles, you can open them up to Luke 2. We're going to read verse 8 through 14. They're very familiar verses because you heard some of them read this morning as we talked about joy. It's where the angels, they come and announce the birth of Jesus Christ to the shepherds. And so if you have your Bibles, you can read along with me here as I read. It says here in Luke 2, verse 8 through 14, it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests.'" The scripture that I read this morning, it tells us God's favor has come upon mankind, right? In the form of Jesus. The Messiah was born, not in a castle, but in a manger. And the angel tells us something, and this is what we need to grab onto. It's what Kevin and Lynn basically shared this morning. He tells us it's good news of great joy. And it's something to celebrate with people because why? It's for all. It's for everyone. It's for all people. Christmas is a time when we should share and experience the joy of Christmas, the joy of what Christ has done for us, what it means that He came to be our Savior. And we do this in so many different ways. We do this by giving. We do this by loving. We do this by sacrificing and by growing in our relationship with the Lord and with others. This is what the first Christmas was all about. And this is what I believe God intended all Christmases to be about. But unfortunately, like many things in life, right, over time, things can slowly change. Something that was meant to be a wonderful thing, supposed to be holy and beautiful, has become corrupted by our own humanity. Now, I'm not saying all of Christmas is corrupt. I'm just saying that sometimes what it's become to the world has become corrupt in what it's about. And instead of being good times of great joy, for a lot of people, Christmas has become a season of stress, right? Got to buy the perfect gift. Got to make someone so happy. And we get stressed out. It becomes this time of stress and a time that often lacks joy, right? The time of the year that's supposed to be the most wonderful, joyous time of the year is a time that we sometimes dread, right? We started Advent Conspiracy years ago in Newburgh Foursquare Church when I was on staff there. And a lot of it was actually some dialogue between me and my pastor and some things in the fact that we were becoming bah humbugs. We didn't like Christmas. It was stealing our joy because there was so much to do and we had to make everyone happy and we had to do this and do that. And we were talking about even we ourselves were like, oh, I'm dreading Christmas. Should we be dreading Christmas? Christmas is a time of joy, a time that we should celebrate. So how do we get back to celebrating Christmas the way we should? To celebrate the birth of Christ with less stress and more joy that is for all people? Well, I think we start by learning how to spend less and give more. Now I want to start by saying this. Advent Conspiracy and this whole idea and what I'm talking about this morning is not about eliminating giving gifts. It's not about eliminating spending money on gifts for Christmas, okay? There's nothing wrong with buying gifts for people on Christmas. That's not what this is about. This series is about, though, kind of rethinking how we do Christmas and what we buy and how we buy and making sure that we're putting thought into why we do what we do at Christmas. It's about putting an end to the thought that the bigger gift we buy, the more expensive gift we buy, shows us that we love them more. Right? Because that's come the mentality. It's showing others we care them about them more if we buy them the bigger, more expensive gift. And honestly, that mentality is what has us spending $450 billion a year at Christmas. So with that in mind, let's talk about how we can celebrate with less stress and with more joy through this Christmas season. To get back to celebrating how the Lord would have us, we need to spend less and give more. So what does that even mean, right? What does that even mean? What does it mean to spend less and to give more? First, let's look at the first part of that, spending less. Now, you would think that in this economic time that we're in this economic environment, you wouldn't think that we need to have a sermon to tell us to spend less, right? Because the reality is a lot of us, we don't have the money to spend, right? And so we just naturally are having to spend less because of the economic times. But here's the thing. I don't think the problem is as much about spending. I don't think it's a spending issue. I think it comes down to the fact that it's a heart issue. You see, the reality is we have to ask the question, why are we spending the money that we're spending? Why are we putting so much into gifts and these things that we're spending? Oftentimes it has to do with what we're wanting to buy. Now let me explain that. I'm not saying, oh, I want to buy this or that. The reality is oftentimes we're wanting to buy fulfillment. We're trying to buy contentment, right? We think the newest, hottest gadget out there is sure to bring us or our family contentment. This will make our family happy. This will make our kids happy. This will bring fulfillment and contentment. And we find ourselves breeding this contentment through stuff attitude. Now, I'm not here to spoil anyone's plans for Christmas, all right? I don't think it's wrong to have stuff. I don't think it's wrong to buy stuff or to enjoy having stuff. But I do think we need to be cautious in what we're really seeking in our spending. Why are we spending? Why are we buying these things? Because regardless of what the world tells us, we can't buy happiness. You can't. I mean, yes, you can get a new thing and then you may be happy for a minute, but what happens when it breaks? What happens when the new iPad comes out? Right? It only lasts for a moment. And the thing is, the things of this world quickly fade away. Some of you may remember a commercial I'm going to explain to you here in a minute. If you're of the old, a little bit older generation, when I say older, I'm talking about myself in this. Because this commercial came out in, it was late 80s. I know I was in high school, and probably about 1988, 1989, this commercial started showing up on our televisions. It was a Bugle Boy jeans commercial. Okay, now so some of you over the age of probably 35 may remember this commercial. This commercial, it starts out, the camera pans in on this desert road, okay? And it comes in and you see standing on the side of this desert road, this cool young man in his jeans and a t-shirt, you know, the boots, looking cool. Why he's on the road, we don't know. I don't see any broken down car or anything, you know. He's just on the side of the road. And then as it pans in, you begin to hear the roar of this engine. And this beautiful, sleek, black sports car come ripping down this old desert road, right? And you see this sports car come down the road, and it passes this young man on the side of the road. And then all of a sudden you hear the, you know, as it comes to a stop. The brake lights are on and squeals as it stops. And then all of a sudden you hear it shift into reverse. And then, and back, and comes back to the man there on the side of the road. And then the window rolls down, right? And as the window rolls down, this young gentleman looks in and you see this beautiful young woman, right? You know, a model, which, well, obviously it's a commercial, so she's a model, but you know what I'm talking about. So this beautiful model, this woman is there in the car, and he's kind of looking in, and she says, excuse me, are those Bugle Boy jeans you're wearing? And he leans over and says, why, yes, they are Bugle Boy jeans. Then the window rolls up, and the car takes off, and he's left there on the side of the road, and you see this tag, Bugle Boy jeans, come up. Now, as I think of that commercial, I have no idea or what the thought behind that commercial was. What are they trying to say in this commercial? But I share this commercial with you because I think it's a perfect example of what the world does to us. It's a perfect example. They tell us, buy their clothes, buy their stuff, buy the latest things. It'll bring you joy and happiness. But instead, we get left on the side of the road with credit card debt up to here, with our pockets empty, and we're lost and joyless. You see, the reality is we cannot find contentment in stuff. Isaiah 55:2 says, why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. We can't buy fulfillment or contentment for ourselves or for others. True contentment comes from one place. True contentment comes from the Lord. Seeking contentment by buying things or by thinking we can give it away, I can tell you, is only going to increase the stress in your life. And it will often leave us empty and anxious as we try to seek the latest, greatest thing that we can buy for ourselves or our family members. You see, I believe that if Christmas is going to be different, if we're going to make Christmas different, we need to learn the secret of being content. And we got to teach that to our kids as well. You see, I would guess that whatever the latest, greatest thing you or your kid got for Christmas last year probably doesn't give you the same fulfillment today that it did back then. Right? The things of the world quickly fade, but the Lord is constant. The Lord is forever. He is where we find true fulfillment and contentment. He is what we should be seeking more than anything at Christmas time. And that's why we started last week. We started this series with learning to worship Him fully. You see, when we're drawing close to the Lord and worshiping Him through obedience, through submission, right? Through sacrifice, the things we talked about last week, it's then that we begin to experience His peace and contentment. A peace that comes only from Him. A peace that passes all other understanding. So this Christmas, my encouragement to you is that you don't allow your spending to be about contentment or fulfillment. And I believe if that's our heart, if that's our heart to not seek those things, I think we'll ultimately spend less on stuff that we don't need, and we'll experience more joy and less stress in our lives. And it will open then up the opportunity for us to give more. Now let me say this, as we head into this aspect of giving more, I want to say giving more doesn't necessarily mean giving more money, okay? Now it can be, because there's kind of a two-part to this whole idea of giving more, of spending less to give more. Number one is on the video we even saw, that if you are someone that has money and you spend less and you have some money available, it opens opportunity to be able to spend it on other things, the poor, the hungry. This organization that started this, they take an offering each year and they spend money or they send money off to provide drinking wells throughout the world for people that don't have clean water. Okay, so there is this aspect of you spend less and you can give more money away to people in need, people that need it, right? But this morning, that's not where I'm going as we talk through here. This morning, I'm talking about the fact that it's learning to give more like Jesus did. To give more the way Jesus did. And so if you have your Bibles again this morning, you can flip over to Matthew chapter 1. This is part of the scripture that we actually read last week about Joseph and Joseph's heart of worship that we talked about last week. But instead of focusing on Jesus in the scripture this morning, we're going to actually take a look at what it says about Jesus. Did I say Jesus twice? Instead of focusing on Joseph, we're going to focus on Jesus. I don't know, maybe I said it right. But we're going to focus on what it says about Jesus this morning. So Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 through 23, I want to share with you this morning as we get ready to kind of wrap things up here. It says, "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet." Verse 23, this is the important verse this morning. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." Jesus came to be with us on that first Christmas. And what he gave us, it wasn't presents, right, that we hand out. He didn't give us presents. He gave us his presence with a C. He gave us himself. You see, one of the ways that we can honor Christ this Christmas and get back to how Christmas was originally celebrated is by giving fewer presents with the T, and giving more of your presence, right, with a C. Giving more of ourselves. giving more of ourselves this Christmas. Jesus gave himself. And we can do the same this year by giving ourselves more in the gifts that we give. What if we actually put thought and time into the gifts that we gave this year, right? How often is it, oh, pick up the gift card, pick up, you know? What if we actually put thought and time into the gifts that we gave? What if we gave relationally instead of just buying stuff that they probably don't even need in the first place? Let me ask you something. How many of you remember all the gifts that you received from everyone last year? Probably none of us remember all the gifts that you received, you know, from everyone. And maybe you do, you got a great memory. But for the most part, a lot of us don't remember all the gifts that we received from everyone last year. You may remember a few gifts that you received, but I bet you don't remember every single one of them. But what if a family member or a close friend gave you a coffee mug? Okay? Would you remember that coffee mug in a couple years, 2 or 3 years, that, oh yeah, it was given to me by someone? Now, probably not, unless you're my wife, okay? I told her I was going to pick on her a little bit this morning. My wife loves coffee mugs. And she will collect them to her heart's desire if I don't make her get rid of stuff, you know? And it's like, why do you need more than 15 or 20 coffee mugs, okay? And it's like, you know, we don't have that many people over our house at once. And we don't have much cupboard space, okay? So, you know, it takes up space. And so, as a matter of fact, she told me when she came back from L.A. when she was down visiting her sister in the hospital this last time, she actually told me that she had gone to Starbucks and her mom was going to buy her a Starbucks mug. It's the Los Angeles one. Starbucks have those mugs now from the different big cities. And she's got one that's from San Diego. And I totally understand that. My wife was raised in San Diego. Makes sense to have a San Diego Starbucks coffee mug. Her mom was going to buy her Los Angeles one. At first she said yes, and then she then told her mom, oh, you better not. Darren's been getting mad at me with all the mugs. And I better not get another mug. So, most people, you may not remember the coffee mugs unless you're my wife. But what if with that coffee mug came a stipulation? This mug was not only given to you to have whenever, whatever, but it was given to you with a stipulation that this mug was only to be used on the first Saturday of each month. And it was only to be used when you had coffee with the person that gave it to you. Now that'd be a memorable gift, wouldn't it? Because it's a gift that shows the value of family and friendship, right? It's not just giving a coffee mug. Here, I found this in the store last night before I came over here, whatever it was, because I needed to get you a gift, right? It's not just giving a coffee mug. It's giving yourself. It's giving your time. You see, there are so many creative things that we can give that aren't expensive from a monetary perspective, but they can become priceless from a relational perspective when we give relationally to others. I encourage you, as we head into this, as we're in the middle of this holiday season, this Christmas season, I encourage you, give more this year. Not by spending more. Give more by learning to give like Jesus gave. And give more of your presence to people this year. I shared earlier that I've come to realize that my kids care more about my time than the gifts that I give them. And I encourage you to think about this. I encourage you, anything when I'm up here sharing, I encourage you, allow it to penetrate your heart and think about it. Pray about it. Ask the Lord, what would you have me do this Christmas season? Ask the Lord to help you, to show you how you can spend less and give more of yourself in this holiday season. Emmanuel, God with us. His presence was the greatest gift. And my heart and desire is that we would learn to give like Jesus gave, that we will learn to give of ourselves this Christmas. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word. And Lord, every year it's so easy to get caught up in this consumeristic mentality. But I thank you for the reminder of what Christmas is about. It's about relationship. It's about your presence, Lord, in our life. And it's learning the reality of how you desire us to be people that are relational, not just with you, but that are with others. And as we walk through this Christmas season, Lord, I just pray that you would open our eyes to see maybe the areas where we're not giving enough of our presence this Christmas season, where we're not just throwing money at things to satisfy and try to bring contentment and fulfillment to family members, our kids, or friends' lives, but that we really are thinking through, what is Christmas about? How do we share ourselves with others this Christmas? Even as I'm praying here, Laura, I think of the scripture, I didn't even continue reading it this morning, but of the shepherds. I think of the scripture of how they went and saw you, and then they went and told everybody about it. Maybe one of the greatest gifts that we can give at Christmas is telling others about you. Is about showing others what Christmas is all about love, about being relational, about not getting caught up in the consumeristic view of Christmas, Lord. Teach us what that means. Each of us, Lord, it's different. I'm not trying to stop anyone from spending any money this Christmas, but I'm wanting us to really think about, how do we spend the money we spend? Why do we do it, Lord? How do we do it in a way that honors you? That's what it comes to. Your word says, do all things to the glory of you. May we learn to honor you and bring glory to you as we walk through this Christmas season. May we learn to experience your joy and walk in joy and peace this Christmas season, Lord. We thank you and praise you for this, and we just give these things to you. In Jesus' name, amen.